Welcome to Keep It 100 Podcast with Sean and Krista Smith. Join us in this space where we take on real issues with real insight and real inspiration. This podcast is for those not looking for temporary relief to change circumstance, but revelation to forever change lives.
Hey, Keep It 100 Tribe. Welcome to another episode of Keep It 100 with Sean and Krista Smith.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, we're super excited. In this episode, we get a chance to talk and have a conversation with one of our favorite prophetic people. You'll hear more about that coming up real soon here, but we've got a quick announcement.
We do. As many of you probably know, at the end of this month, January 30th through February 1st, we're so excited. We're hosting our annual Momentum Conference, but we always say it's not a conference. It is a time of encounter. It's transformation. You're not going to want to miss this, and you're not going to walk out the same. And so we're so expectant for what God's going to do. And today we're going to feature the incredible prophetic voice, Jane Hammond. We love her. She's going to be one of the speakers at Momentum. And so we wanted to bring her on because we want you guys to get connected with her if you're not already. She's sharing some profound things today. I feel like are really going to impact you. They're going to give you spiritual strategy. They're going to give you spiritual insight. But friends, she's only one of multiple speakers. And so she is such a powerhouse, and imagine, more people beyond her coming. And we have incredible worship. We have awesome speakers. It's going to be a Holy Spirit encounter. It's going to be Thursday night, all day Friday, all day Saturday. You do not want to miss it. January 30th through February 1st, our Momentum Conference. Get in the room. We have so many testimonies of people that have come the last 2 years. It's going to be our third year of hosting this conference. And we have so many testimonies, you guys. I mean, literally physical healings. People have left crutches. We've had people that have struggled with suicide walk out completely free. People that were burned out walk out restored with vision. We've had emotional healing. We've had people's sexual identities healed, restored, transformed. We've, of course, had physical breakthrough, like I just said. We've had testimony after testimony. And so I just want to encourage you, there's nothing like getting into the proxy of the present. We're going to have live stream available. We love that option. We're grateful for technology. We really are. But if you can get into the room in Dublin, California, book a flight, make it a priority, get in the room. Friends, I tell you what, I'm not over promising, under delivering. If anything, I actually can't articulate how powerful it's going to be. So go to SeanandKristaSmith.com, check out our social media platforms, get your seat today, and bring a friend, bring a family member. If you're a church leader or you lead a small group, get your group there. I tell you what, it is a great way to start 2025.
Hey, and I would just think of two words that could jump in there is encounter and explosion. I believe you get in the room, there's going to be an encounter, and you're hungry for that. I'm hungry for that. I believe there's so many people right now that are hungry for a fresh encounter with God, and there's no substitutes for a fresh encounter. And the other thing is, I believe there's going to be an explosive presence of God that will release joy, that will release anointing, and will release a fresh launch and lift into what it is you're putting your hands to. So get there January 30th through February 1st, Momentum 2025. We can't wait to see you there.
Hey, as we dive into this conversation with the incredible prophetic apostolic Jane Hammond. She has been a hero of the faith for both Sean and I for years. She walks with such grace, such integrity, such wisdom and discernment. Friends, get ready for this conversation. It is going to be so life-changing. Just to give you a little bit of her background, her and her husband, Tom, been married for many years. Incredible couple. They pastor Vision Church in Santa Rosa Beach, Florida. And they're just incredible. They have just been generals of the faith, trusted voices, and we're so honored to have them not only a part of Momentum, but here on the Keep It 100 podcast today.
Hey, Keep It 100 Tribe, I can't even begin to tell you guys how blessed you're about to be. We're jumping in a conversation with Apostle Jane Hammond. Her and her husband, they pastor in Florida. She is an author. She is a speaker. She has prophesied over dignitaries that travel the nations. She is amazing. And she's a great friend of Chris and I. Jane, welcome to Keep It 100.
Thank you so much, Sean. I so appreciate you having me be here with you today.
Oh, I'm so honored. And we'll talk more about it later, gang. But she's going to be with us at Momentum 2025, January 30th, 31st, February 1st of this year. We are now in 2025, which is crazy how fast 2024 went, right?
Oh my gosh, yes. Absolutely. It was a crazy year, too.
It was. was. And so let's jump on that. Like some people, 2024 was a great year. For some people, it was a mixed bag, meaning that there were some challenges. Some people, it's like, you know, bye-bye, Felicia, which is slang for you don't want to see 2024 ever again. So, Jay, what kind of year was it for you?
You know, at the beginning of the year, the Lord gave me a word for the year, as he so often does. And he said, this is going to be a year of victory over chaos. And so when you hear God say something like this, it's kind of like you hear the good news and the bad news. It's like, you know, it's like, oh, victory, yay. But then it's victory over chaos. And so, man, there was just so much craziness that went on throughout the world and throughout our nation, throughout so many different people's lives. But I can honestly say, man, God was so faithful. God carried us through. God brought us through a lot of crazy stuff. And I believe he's really setting a course. I love that you call your gathering time momentum, because I think we're in that time of incredible spiritual momentum as we're coming through, I think, probably the last stages of really overcoming chaos.
You know, that is such a right on word, especially in retrospect. And obviously you released the word in real time. It has been chaotic. And one of the things that I've heard from a lot of leaders and a lot of people, Jane, is the focus fights people had in the midst of chaos. It just, you know, the verse, the Bible says, he whose mind is stayed on thee is kept in perfect peace. And that place of not being deterred or distracted or moved by what you see, the chaos. I mean, we saw geopolitical chaos. We saw, economic chaos. We saw just behavioral, you know, between humanity, people, chaos. In what ways for you did you feel like the word applied to you personally in terms of some challenges you saw?
Yeah, well, you know, I think that the Lord stretched us. I think that we saw things in our family that we had to really battle through for our children and for our grandchildren, issues of health, different things like that where it felt like our family was under attack. And I don't know about you, Sean, but it's like, you know, the enemy can hit me in a lot of areas, but man, when he touches my family, man, this is war. You know, and I am not going to back down. And so we really had to press through some things in watching the Lord overcome for our kids, for our grandkids. We've got 7 grandchildren, and really kind of saw them come through some unique challenges and really seeing victory on the other side of it. But let me just tell you, when it's your kids, it's your family, and you're battling against a diagnosis, or you're battling against, you know, different circumstances that they're facing, man, it's all in. I mean, you're all in and having to really, really rise up and confront. So for us, that was probably some of our biggest challenges. And but at the same time, we have seen God's faithfulness to so many during this year. So it's been an
amazing
time. And we've seen miracles. I mean, blow your mind kind of miracles with people, leaders on our own staff and family members of our, you know, elders and family members in our churches, and things that look absolutely impossible. Like one of our elders was scheduled for a back surgery that he'd been in excruciating pain. And it came to the day of back surgery, and the doctors called and said he got sick. He had to cancel the surgery. And, you know, we were all very anticipatory for having our elder get some relief. And so they had to reschedule it like several weeks after that. And during that period of time, he realized, I have no more pain. And you know what? He's been out playing basketball, pickleball, all these things. He's like, I'm completely healed. So delay was not denial. He actually got healed in the midst of that season of delay. And so some of you feel like some things have been delayed, but I'm telling you, delay is not denial. And maybe God's just been setting you up for a time of supernatural miracles. I want to put my faith together with yours to believe for that. We had another guy in our church that was in a terrible car accident, the son of one of our elders, and his car rolled several times. He broke his neck, young man.
Oh, wow.
Broke his neck. And the doctor said the way that his neck was broken, it could never heal. They said it's impossible for his neck to heal. He will be disabled the rest of his life. They said, there's no way for the bones to fuse. There's no way for us to do surgery to cause it to heal. And after like 4 or 5 months, I mean, he was wearing this neck brace. He was completely immobilized. And after about 4 or 5 months, you know, we kept praying and praying. And then suddenly, you know how you pray and then suddenly,
yes.
You know, suddenlies don't always happen. Suddenly they happen after sometimes a long time of contending. Suddenly he just woke up one day and he was like, oh, my neck feels a lot better. But he couldn't really move it because the doctor said, if you move wrong, it could kill you. I mean, that's what he was living under.
Oh my.
And so his parents drove him to the doctor that day. The doctor redid the x-rays and the doctor says, I don't understand this, but the bones in your neck have completely healed. They're not supposed to be able to do that. So I love astounding doctors. doctors. I love watching the look on doctors' faces when miracles happen. And it's just been that kind of a season, kind of like the worst of times, but then out of that, the best of times.
That is so true. You know, I always love to tell people, Hebrews 11, the Faith Hall of Fame, we love that passage. But nobody was getting miracles in the comfort zones. They were in the midst of massive crisis. You know, the Egyptians are marching down. They're going to wipe out Israel. And then they get the crossing of the Red Sea. And Moses is in a situation where life is threatened. David, Daniel. I mean, you can just go on and on and on.
Absolutely.
Jane, you are, and our listeners need to know this. And we were just talking before we jumped on that you gave me a prophetic word. We said it's probably about almost 13 years ago. And I was in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, like emphasis on shadow and death. And you and I both ministered at the conference, but it was your session. You called up some pastor friends of ours and you were prophesying and I knew them and the word was right on. And so I could tell, I looked at my friend, I could tell, oh, he's wobbling a little bit. The power of God is about to overwhelm him. I need to be up to catch my friend. So I jumped up on the platform. Sure enough, he goes out in the power. It was such an anointing. I stumbled a little bit. And then you immediately pointed at me. You had the word. Like when you say that the word was spot on, it doesn't do justice. You were in my mailbox. God used you to read my mail. Give me the most encouraging word at the most dark time in probably a modern era of Shaw Smith's life. And I held on to it. It spared me. I just knew God loved me. I knew in that moment I was seen by God and I didn't come up to get a word. I wouldn't have asked you for a personal word for myself. I'd do it for others, but I won't do it for myself. But God had you do that. And it was, I mean, the detail in which you went. And I know that you have flowed like that. The strength and the power of your prophetic gift is undeniable. I tell people, anybody that attacks Jane Hammond might as well sit on a bus saw. I will defend you, girl. I got you. I know there's these people that must have too much time on their hand that love to get on YouTube and love to get on social media and go after prophets and whatnot. But back that up. And Jane, let me ask you, what is your origin story?
You know, it's really a great story because I didn't come from a born-again family. I didn't come from a Christian family. My parents were amazing people, but they were more agnostic scientists, very much about the power of the mind and education, and which is all good, but they really didn't believe in Jesus. But when I was 5 years old, I had a friend that I played with in my neighborhood suddenly get sick and die. And it was a little boy that I played with in my neighborhood. And I didn't know what to do with all this grief that I had. And so, Sean, I went into my bedroom, and at that time, now I'm in my 60s, and so this was in the 1960s. At that time, there was a television program called The Flying Nun. Only your older listeners would have known of The Flying Nun. Sally Field played this little nun that always got herself into trouble, and then usually at some point in the program, she flew. Okay, so that was we watched it every week, and she always got herself in trouble, and she would go in, and she would get down on her knees, and she would fold her hands, and she would look up at the cross, and she would pray and she would tell the Lord her problems. And somehow by the end of the program, she was out of her problems and he had resolved things. And so that's what I did with my grief. I went in my room. I did what the flying nun did. I got on my knees. I folded my hands. I looked up at the ceiling because I didn't have a cross. I told the Lord what I was feeling. And I want you to know what happened is that in my childlike faith, the Lord came down in my room. The presence of God, I didn't have a language for it, but the presence of God came down in my room and wrapped his arms around me. And I just felt the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I didn't understand it. I mean, as a kid, I had no spiritual language at all. But from that point forward in my life, I came back to that place every single night. Sometimes I would just sit and the presence of the Lord would come. I would talk to him. I didn't know how to pray, but I would just chat with him. And I was just very real. When I was 8 years old, a friend taught me to pray the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I took that prayer and I wrote each line on the top page of a notebook. And I began to see the Holy Spirit teach me how to pray, structure my prayer life. I started reading a Bible when I was 10. You know, it was one of those big family Bibles, those 20-pound Bibles that used to come with encyclopedias. Encyclopedia sets, which the younger generation, an encyclopedia set was like Google in books, okay, that sits on a shelf because most of the children don't know what an encyclopedia set is anymore. But they always came with this massive King James Bible. And so I started reading that when I was about 10 years old.
Wow.
And I mean, it was like the Holy Spirit taught me. I didn't understand the plan of salvation or who Jesus was till I was 14. I've been seeking the Lord my whole life, but I didn't even know who Jesus was in terms of him being my my savior. But the plan of salvation was presented to me when I was 14. I got born again, baptized in a denominational church. Then when I was 16, I got filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. And about a month later, Sean, I was praying in my room the way that I'd always done through all those years, just talking to the Lord, when for the first time, God spoke back. And he
spoke
in an audible voice. And I mean, I was in a denominational church. I mean, honestly, nobody told me that God was still speaking. You know, nobody told me this could happen. And what he said to me absolutely changed the course of my life. He said, Jane, I'm 16. He said, Jane, the plans that you've made for your life are not the plans that I've made for your life. Instead of going to that secular college, because I already had a full ride scholarship to a secular college and I had a career path that I chosen. He said, instead of going to that college, I'm going to send you to Bible college. And I thought, my parents are going to love this. The Lord said, when you get there, you're going to meet a man and you're going to get married young. Again, my parents are not going to love this. And I'm going to thrust you into ministry at an early age, and you'll travel the nations of the world. And sometimes he'll preach and sometimes you'll preach, because I'm going to make you a team in ministry. God said all that to me when I was 16 years old.
Wow.
My mind was blown. I had no idea what he was talking about, Sean. I'd never seen a woman preach. I'd never seen a woman do anything more than teach Sunday school and sing in the choir. I was just, and I asked the Lord, I was like, I don't know if there's rules when God speaks to you. What do you do when God speaks to you? And so I just said, Lord, can you show me somebody who's doing now what I'll be doing then, so that I'll understand it? Because I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, there's nobody doing now what you'll be doing then, because I will be doing a new thing. 16 years old. So I went to my denominational pastor and shared with him what God said. And he patted me on the back and he said, girlie, that wasn't the voice of God, because women don't preach.
Oh my.
And within the week, I was invited to leave that church. They didn't want me infecting all the other youth with this crazy idea that God was still speaking. But I want you to know, I graduated from high school. I went off to Bible college at 17, Christ for the Nations. Met Tom, my husband, my first night on campus. I was 17. He was 19. We got married 2 years later and immediately started a church. He was 21 and I was 19. I don't know what God was thinking, because I still pray for those poor people that we pastored back in those days. It was like, oh my gosh, we had no idea what we were doing. And but since that time, you know, we've been pastoring a church here in Florida for almost 40 years. We've traveled to over 65 nations. We've traveled the nations of the world. Sometimes he preaches, sometimes I preach, because we formed a ministry team. And I've just watched how the word of the Lord has come to pass in my life. And I just believe that for those that are listening, it doesn't matter what age or stage you're at, God wants to speak into your life and set you on a course of destiny the same way that he did for me.
I love that, Jane. Just the clarity in which God handed you this blueprint that you were able to step into. And then obviously the word was tested. You know, your former pastor there, he's
right,
speaking in a way that's contrary to the word. And yet you stuck with the word. And like you said, the invitation to leave. But you look now and you think of how strategic it was that God spoke, because it's that kind of fork in the road. Ruth was in this place where she could go, or she could go back and stay in a place that was familiar. And yet she chose the hard path and God met her, and the rest is history. She's engrafted into the genealogy of Jesus.
Absolutely. So it's so exciting. When we obey God, we have no idea the lives that will be touched, the destinies that can be changed, the hearts that can be mended, because we obeyed God. And I'm just so grateful that God gave me the strength to walk through those years where my parents didn't understand me, my friends didn't understand me, you know, my church family didn't understand me, and I didn't understand me. And yet I knew what the Lord said, and that gave me the strength to keep going. So
that's phenomenal. So Jane, that really leads to kind of this other thought I was thinking, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners, you know, they're that point when God spoke to you, at what point did you begin to realize that it wasn't just for you hearing the voice of God, but that you would become the voice of God in a very, very specific way? I mean, you walk in the office of a prophet and apostolic and apostle as well. But at what point or what experience or what was it that became the tipping point for you to become that voice and to step into those prophetic giftings?
You know, about a week after I got thrown out of my denominational church, I went to a charismatic church. I always remember it because the worship team, this was back in the 70s, Sean, and the worship team looked pretty much like ZZ Top, okay, back in those days. I mean, they all had beards down to their bellies and jeans with holes in them, which wasn't stylish back then, but was necessary for hippies, and no shoes on their feet. And it was just like, well, this is a coming out of a denominational church for 2 years of my Christian walk. I was like, wow, this is different. And the pastor got up and he pointed at me and gave me my first prophecy. And he said, the Lord told me to tell you, now this is a week after I got thrown out of the church for saying God called me to preach. He had no idea. I'd never met him before. He said, young lady, the Lord just told me to tell you, you will preach the word and signs will follow. And so the courage to be like, okay, this is the voice of God. This is what God is saying. And so then when I went to Bible college and married into my husband's family, I actually married into the family of Dr. Bill Hammond, who is considered to be the father of the modern prophetic movement. And this was the early stages of the revelation really coming to the body of Christ that God was in fact raising up apostles and prophets. I mean, up until that time, all you really heard about was evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But, you know, Ephesians 4:11 says that there's five. There's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So he started preaching about this. He started activating us in hearing the voice of the Lord at will. Okay. So a lot of people think, well, you know, I would love to hear the voice of God whenever he's ready to speak to me. But what we have to understand is that we can actually activate that. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. It's supposed to be this normal part of our walk with Jesus, is that he's speaking, we're communicating. It's a two-way conversation that we should be having with him. And so that revelation started coming to the body of Christ. And my father-in-law was, you know, very harshly persecuted for trying to say things like every believer can hear the voice of God. But isn't that what Jesus said? My voice. And so we started learning how to activate the voice of God, not just in ourselves, but we learned how to activate it in others. And a lot of times it's just a matter of giving God the opportunity. One time the Lord spoke to me in my walk with him, and I was crying out to him about a situation in our family. And as I was crying out, I was just pouring out my heart to God and all my concerns and all my grief. And as I walked back and forth on the floor, I heard the Lord say, Jane, shh. Just me. Okay. And then he just gave me the scripture reference. And the scripture reference was Psalms 85, verse 8. And it says, I will hear what the Lord God will speak, for he will speak peace to his people. And when you look at that, that word, I will hear what the Lord God will speak, it's the Hebrew word shama, shama. Mm. And shama means to listen, to hear, and to discern. But it also goes one step further. And when you dig down in the Hebrew to understand and grasp what this word means, it means this, Sean. It means to listen intentionally and to hear intelligently. I will listen intentionally for the voice of the Lord. I will hear intelligently, for he will speak peace to his people. And he gave me strategy for our circumstance out of that message because I listened intentionally. So that was really the moment when I, you know, we started activating. We started holding prophetic conferences back in the 80s. We started training people to hear the voice of God. We were, you know, put in a place that everybody that attended our conference, we prophesied to them. And Bishop Hammond would prophesy and we would come with a second word. And then one day he said, you know, now you guys are going to prophesy to them. And we said, no, they didn't come to hear us. They came to hear you. And he said, no, they came to hear from God. And the voice of the Lord is in you. So put a demand on the anointing.
My.
And we started leading prophetic teams. We started teaching people how to raise up prophetic teams. And one day I got a prophetic word that called me a prophet. And this was not a usual thing back then. And I went to Hammond and I said, hey, I'm kind of confused. I got this word about being a prophet. And he looked at me like I'd fallen out of a tree. He said, what did you think you were? I said, I don't know, a saint with a gift, you know, and he goes, oh, you are a prophet. You have a prophet's call, a prophet's mantle on your life. And we are called to equip the saints. Prophets don't just prophesy. And I think this is one of the paradigm shifts that's taking place in the church today is that, you know, for so many years, Sean, we thought, okay, well, evangelists are the ones that win souls and teachers are the ones that make disciples and pastors, you know, counsel and nurture and care, and prophets just prophesy, 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 apostles build and move in signs and wonders. And one day the Lord said to me, that is not what Ephesians 4:11-12 says. And I went,
so good.
And it says, these five are given for the equipping of the saints, or the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Mm. And so what the goal of Ephesians 4:11 is, Sean, is not prophets being raised up or evangelists being raised up. It's well-equipped saints being raised up. And when you're a well-equipped saint, you've had impartation from an evangelist, so you know how to win souls. You've had impartation from a teacher, so that you know how to take the word of God, break it down, teach it, make disciples. Everybody can make disciples. Come on. You don't have to be a pastor to bring the counsel of God, the wisdom of God, to care for people in your workplace, care for people in your community, to pastor your neighborhood, if you will. Come on. That's impartation from that pastoral anointing. As a prophet, my job is to equip people to hear the voice of God. I love to prophesy to people. I love to lay my hands on them like I did you and release the word. But you know what I also love? I love watching people that are believers suddenly realize they can hear from the voice of God. They can hear for themselves, and they can hear for others, and they can be God's voice to somebody else. And I love seeing that people realize that it's not just apostles that are sent ones, but that every single one of us are sent ones into whatever sphere of society and structure that we're called to be, to move in signs and wonders and to bring the kingdom of God. So it's kind of a different approach on Ephesians 4:11-12. I am a prophet. I also walk in an apostolic anointing. My husband and I pastor a church. I love to teach and I love to win souls. Okay. You know what? That makes me a well-equipped saint.
I love that, Jane. Come on.
So
I think that's so important. Oh, go ahead. You finish.
So I'm just going to say, I think it's a dynamic that is changing in the church today. And I think that the fivefold ministry's got to change to understand our job isn't do all the stuff. Our job is equip others to do the stuff with us and to raise up a spiritual army that moves with momentum, that is able to bring a kingdom revolution everywhere we go.
I love well-equipped saints is the end game. I love that. I got saved in a healthy discipleship movement. I was so glad that I got discipled. And immediately there was a guy that was an evangelist, and he poured into me. And then very shortly thereafter, a guy that I would say he's almost, I feel a little similar in gifting. He was this hybrid prophet evangelist. And I feel this prophetic evangelistic, thus the book I wrote. But yeah. I think it's so important that we equip the body of Christ, that the goal is that not that we do it or we expose them to our gift, but what I'm hearing you saying is that they do it. I was in a place, and it was a healthy place to do it. I'm an exhorter, but I found myself saying, just in general, I said, we've taught folks how to do parking lot attendant stuff. We've taught the body how to carry the first lady's purse to the front row. We've taught people, but we didn't teach them how to cast out devils, win the loss, pray people through to healing and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I go, we've got to get on to what the Bible says we're to equip and train people to do. And I really feel like there is an end times revolution is taking place where, and your father-in-law has talked about the saints movement. The next move is the saints movement. And I was obviously major impacted by the trilogy of books, Dr. Bill Hammond. He was my teacher at Wagner Leadership Institute. But I love that. In light of the different times that you received and you have released a prophetic word, how crucial, Jane, or how imperative, important is it to have a prophetic perspective right now in the day that we live in, this emerging generation?
Yeah, it's the word that you just used, crucial. It really is, because, you know, in the Old Testament, there was one of the 12 tribes, and they were known as the sons of Issachar. And it says in 2 Chronicles 12:32, it says that they had 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says they had an understanding of the times and they knew what to do. And I feel like that is really something that God wants to release and impart to the body of Christ. Understanding the times is that prophetic perspective that when God says something like victory over chaos, it doesn't have to freak us out, but we understand, okay, we're going to work with God in the midst of the craziness that comes. We understand the times. But then the second half of that is that apostolic wisdom and strategy that shows shows us what to do in the midst of the times and the seasons of God that we're in. I think that we're coming into a remarkable season right now in the body of Christ, but we've got to understand the times and seasons of God. Without getting political, you know, let me just say that after the 2020 election, there was a lot of craziness that went on with people not understanding what God was doing when, you know, we went through political transition. And a lot of people really felt like they had heard the Lord about a different outcome. And we were together as intercessors during that time. And we were just praying. And I listened to the Lord, and the Lord said this. He said, just tell my people I'm up to something. And I leaned in thinking that the Lord was going to tell me what he was up to.
I love that, Jane.
He did not. Okay. He did not tell me what he was up to. But I knew the way that he said it. He was saying, I'm working a plan. I've heard all your prayers on behalf of your nation. And just tell the people they're going to have to trust me in this season of time. And you know what? That anchored me. I didn't have to get upset about, you know, the times that we were in. I didn't have to get upset about what was going on in the world. I heard God say, I'm up to something. God was working a plan. And if we understand the character and nature of God, he heard our prayers. And he was saying, you know what? Sometimes I've got to take you through a time like Jeremiah to root up, to tear down, to throw down, to destroy some things so that I bring you into a time of building and planting. And so that's honestly, I believe the season of time that we're in right now is that we're crossing a threshold, not just because we've had an election, but because there's a different season. And I'm coming into what I heard the Lord say is a golden age of awakening, a golden age of awakening. And this, the season of awakening is awakening goes far beyond just revival. And I love revival. We love the passion, we love revival, and we love the fervor that comes. But you know what, an awakening, I love what, I think it was Charles Finney said in the Second Great Awakening. He said, a revival touches the heart of a man, but awakening changes the heart of a nation. And I believe that that is where we are living right now, is that we're coming into a golden age of awakening. And what's happened, I think, over the last 4 years has been this very strange awakening that yes, it's happening in the church, it's happening on college campuses, but you know where it started? It started with people suddenly distrusting what the media told them, suddenly distrusting what the government told them. And it was like people in my own family that maybe never really wanted to talk about spiritual things. Suddenly they realized, you know what? We've not been being told the whole truth in government or in media or in the COVID situation or this, that, and the other. And it's like suddenly their eyes were being opened. And then they suddenly started saying, okay, but you know what? Maybe I haven't believed the right thing about God either. And as their eyes are getting opened, it's like they're being drawn to Jesus because they're saying, you know what? I'm gonna move past what I've always thought was my own version of the truth, and I'm gonna start really seeking out truth. And
yes,
I see it happening in my own family, my extended family. Revival's breaking out. I mean, it's what I've prayed for, it's what I've longed for, but it happened through this desperate, kind of disgruntled place where people got discouraged with the way things had always been. And suddenly this awakening is coming that's lighting the fuse of fire that people are drawing into for revival. So I just cannot wait to see what the Lord is doing in the coming days. So,
oh, I love that. And, you know, I 100% agree with you. And I think your take is brilliant. Your prophetic insight, I should say, is brilliant in that I felt like very much like the 60s, you know, I studied, wrote about it in revival, the Jesus People movement, the institutions that failed them, the situations with Vietnam War, situations with other political things and decisions that were being made. There was a generation that felt disenfranchised. And then, you know, some of the gurus came along, some of the people, Timothy Leary, other people that kind of led them astray. And then the crash came down of the Finnish, I'm eating the fruit of the Finnish philosophy of free sex, free party, free drugs, free everything. And then that thing came, and there was a generation craving an experience. Yeah. And I feel like in a different way, what kind of the pandemic and what kind of the last 4 years and all of that kind of taught us is putting our faith in undeserving sources has a outcome that doesn't feel good. Yeah. And it left people wounded and hurt and searching. And I really feel like there is a hunger for experience that I've had the experience of the party. I've had experience of a drug. I've had experience of the illicit. Now I hunger for the real. And, you know, I remember in the Jesus Revolution movie, the whole thing was, what is love? We want to know what love is. You know, there was even songs that came after that. And I feel like now the question is, people are saying, what's real? You know, with fake news and fake this and fake dissemination of information, what is real? And I feel like we're being set up that at the end of the day, what ripens a harvest is misery. You know, Jesus looked over a group. He says, I see you helpless and harassed like sheep without a shepherd. And then he goes on to say, behold, the field is white under snow, but the helpless and harassed is what ripened the harvest for them, for Jesus to say they're ripe. And we're seeing that. What other prophetic things do you feel like for 2025? And I love that you've already begun to segue into that. What other things are you feeling?
You know, another phrase that the Lord kind of spoke to me is, he said, I'm going to bring a renaissance of righteousness. And of course, you know, the Renaissance was a very interesting time when, you know, when people, you know, began to discover new things. It was a Renaissance. They began to explore new artistic expressions. They explored new places on the globe, in the globe. They, it was the word Renaissance itself literally comes from a French word that means rebirth and revival. It actually means revival, rebirth, and it means to be born again. Isn't that cool? The word Renaissance. I didn't know this until I heard the Lord say that. I get in there and study it, and it literally means to be born again. And it really speaks about a season of time of where they were shaking off the corruption of the Holy Roman Empire and kind of really dissatisfied with the Catholic Church. It ended up leading into the Protestant Reformation, which I believe is what we're in the middle of. The three words that the Lord kind of gave me having to do with this is that it will be a time of revolution, a holy revolution, which we've talked about a little bit. And it will be a time of resolution. And resolution means two things, okay? Resolution means resolving longstanding issues. So I feel like there's a lot of people that have been believing God for things for a very long time, believing things for them personally. And I believe praying for nations to change, praying for a shift in the earth. And I believe that we're going to see some amazing resolution. Okay. If I go back to revolution, you understand that's a time of conflict. It literally means a radical and pervasive change in society and the social structure, one that often occurs suddenly and is often accompanied by violence. So it's not, we're not talking about flesh and blood violence, but I mean, it's going to be a time of spiritual war, spiritual battle. We've got to hear, we've got to see, we've got to know, we've got to understand, and we've got to contend. So then it brings us into this place of resolution where we start seeing miracles, we start seeing alignment, we start seeing things on a whole new level. The word resolution also, I am not tech girl, okay, as you've already found out as we tried to get on this podcast. You know, resolution, you know, depends on the pixels, and the higher the pixels, the greater your resolution. The clarity of your picture is. And so I believe that God's going to actually bless us with greater clarity, greater prophetic insight, with a more clear image and a clear picture than what we've ever seen before. I am so ready for that. I mean, I'm a seer, and I've been seeing for decades now, but I am so hungry to see at another level. And I just believe that God is going to release that to us in this season of resolution, not just resolving things, but bringing a clearer picture. And then the third word that the Lord really gave me is restitution. So revolution, resolution, and restitution. And of course, restitution means to recover. Or, you know, when somebody's robbed something from you, the judge orders that he must pay restitution. He's got to pay you back. So some of us have been through some pain and suffering over this last season of time.
Yep.
I believe the enemy's got to pay us back. I believe that it's going to be an amazing time of reaping the spoils of the battles that we've been fighting for the last several years. I'm very excited about it because I do think that it is a time when we're going to begin to see some breakthroughs of some things that we've long awaited, not just financial, but I believe in families. I believe in our health. And I believe that the things that the enemy's been robbing from us, it's just time for him to pay us back. And, you know, the scripture says he's got to restore double, or in the Proverbs, it actually says he's got to restore sevenfold. So I am really looking forward to see that happen, not just for our family, but for others' families as well. A time of great testimonies as the Spirit of God just begins to move.
I love that. Revolution, resolution, and restitution. I'm thinking about, I think it's in 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm pretty sure that's right, when David is hit at Ziklag.
Yep.
And it was this horrible moment. Like, it was like, what else could go wrong, right? The guy's wife had been given off to some other guy. He had to run from his home. He's in between, in a sense that he got fired by the Philistines because he's kind of doing, you know, this kind of marauding for them. They give him his pink slip. He goes back only to find out that, I think it was the Amalekites, right, had struck Ziklag and took off his wife, his kids, his belongings. And then his own men pick up stones. And in that moment, he hears from God. But what I love, to your point, is the restitution. He not only got back what they had stolen, but he got back what's called David's spoil.
That's
and
right.
I thought, and I had this phrase, and I briefed some message, I think somebody made a t-shirt out of it, revival's my revenge. It's like, if enemy, you're going to hit me like that, I'm not just going to sit back and just play victim in this thing. I'm going to realize the authority that God has given me. I'm going to recognize it's a season. And of course, the hinge point or tipping point was David said, shall I pursue? And he received the word of the Lord. And I feel like the word that you're releasing, it's so encouraging. It's giving us permission to recognize it may be a season that some of us contend to see the restitution and all those three R's. And that's like, oh my goodness, that's so good.
Can I plug a book real quick? Because it goes.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I released this last year. It's called Confronting the Thief. And the subtitle is Take Back What the Enemy Stole and Declare Divine Recovery Over Your Heart, Family, and Life. And I actually talk about the story that you just talked about. It actually tracks the journey of Israel confronting the Amalekites, because the Amalekites' name actually means plunderer or robber. And so how do we confront the enemy when he's robbed from our family? How do we confront the enemy when he's robbed from our finances? How do we confront the enemy when he's robbed from our destiny? You know, what do we do? And I kind of take them through the steps of this. And what I love in this book is that at the very last chapter, I kind of track the Amalekites all the way through the story. And the last place that we find them is in the book of Esther with Haman. And I just want to be clear, his name is Haman, not Haman. Okay.
Amen.
All right, quit casting out the spirit of Haman. All right, y'all. But Haman was an Agagite, and Agag was the king of the Amalekites.
Whoa, and so that's right.
What's so cool is that Saul lost his destiny because he didn't obey God. Remember, God told him, wipe out all the Amalekites.
Right.
And he saved Agag alive and saved some others alive. And you know what? He ended up losing his destiny because he didn't obey God. But 500 years later, it was a descendant of Saul. Both Esther and Mordecai were descendants of Saul that ended up destroying Haman and all his 10 sons, the descendants of Agag. I mean, you cannot make this stuff up. It's so cool. And in that, I talk about the fact that the Lord gave me the name of, he woke me up one night and he said, it's time to bring down Haman and his 10 sons. And I know that your wife, Krista, had this same word.
Yes, she did.
At the same time. I mean, I think maybe the same month or the same week, we got this exact same word about Haman and his 10 sons. And so what I do in this book is the very last chapter is I go in and I talk about how each of Haman's 10 sons' names indicate ways that the enemy robs from us. And we release decrees against them to start taking back what the enemy has stolen. So I think it could be a great book for people to grab hold of, especially here at the beginning of this year, to just set themselves and say, you know what, this is going to be a year of restitution for me. And I am going to take back whatever I have figured out the enemy has stolen from me. So I'm pretty
sure. Jane, hold up that book one more time. It's called Confronting the Thief by Jane Abbott. Hey, folks, get this book. You know, so many people, I'm hearing it over and over again. It's like, Sean, I know that I'm supposed to do X, Y, Z. I don't know how to do it. And what happens is I think we've not discipled a generation on spiritual warfare. Like when I came up, I was reading Dean Sherman. And I was reading these other books on spiritual warfare and, you know, even Joyce Meyer's Battle for the Mind and all that kind of stuff, Battlefield of the Mind. And I began to realize that all of a sudden a generation came up and there wasn't depth in the area of discipleship. I really believe confronting the thief is a now word. I have your book on discernment. I love the way you write, Jane. It's revelatory, but it has depth, and you're a woman of the word. And so I love the word, the original, the context, and all those things. And that's just so, so profound. Jane, tell us what other things. First of all, I know there are people that are listening. They need to go right now either to your website or if they need to go to Amazon and get that book. But I know you've got some other stuff. Tell us, how can we get in contact with you? Is there some conferences, some other things? And then obviously we'll hit that you're going to be with us at the very end at Momentum 2025. But share how we can
track. I'm super excited about being with you at the end of this month. I'm just super, super pumped about that. So you can connect with me at janehammond.com. I'm on all the social media pages, Apostle Jane Hammond on Facebook and Jane Hammond on Instagram. And I have a YouTube channel at Jane Hammond TV. So if you want to connect with me on YouTube, I'd love to have you. I'm rolling out a lot of different prophetic content on a regular basis. So look us up there. Also, we have a 90-day prophetic intensive that we're starting at the end of January. It's called School of the Prophets. And in this, we teach on interpreting dreams and visions, the gift of discernment. We teach on being what it means to be a prophet to the nations. Some of you may not think that you are, but you probably are. And how do we move into that calling? We talk about spiritual authority. We talk about hearing the voice of God. So 90 days of intensive prophetic impartation. It's all online, so you don't have to come here. It's online. We have pre-recorded classes, and then we have live Q&As that you're able to participate with us in. And so want to encourage you if you want to participate in that. And then we also have on campus training for a week in February. I think it's the week of the 16th, but you can go to christianinternational.com. And that is the prophetic training that you may want to come and join us in person. And you can actually do both at the same time. If you're hungry to just get started and do everything you can here at the beginning of the year, join our online School of the Prophets, come down for a week in February, get activated and hands laid and impartation. Because see, we got to stop treating the prophetic like it's about information. And we got to start understanding that when we release prophetic words to people, it's as much about impartation as it is about information. And so I believe that as we start learning to utilize the gifts that God's put inside of us, we're going to go to another level and we're going to usher in this kingdom revolution that I believe God's got for us this year.
I love that. And again, the website for both the online and the bid registered person is Christian.
Christian International for the
international.
For the in-person. CI School of the Prophets. CISchoolOfTheProphets.com for our online School of the Prophets that's starting the end of this month. Okay. So the end of January. And we'd love to have you join us for those.
Oh, that's so, so awesome. And hey, everybody, Jane is going to be with us as long, along with Dr. Mike Maiden, along with Apostle Joshua Giles, Kristen and I, Matt Gilman, Chris Adejuste, end of this month. And this will be our third year doing this conference. We are so excited to host you. If you've not signed up for that, get signed up for that. Get a seat, get in the room. It's going to be amazing. Jane, would you just pray over our listeners right now, just in this area of hearing and seeing, but just having a clarity of hearing and grasping the word of the Lord in this season.
Amen. Well, Father, I thank you, Lord, for everyone seeing this and hearing this right now, Father, that you are taking us up to another level of prophetic intimacy, and out of that place of prophetic intimacy, prophetic power. I thank you, Father God, that we are going to, in 2025, stir up the gift of God that's in us, Lord God, that is being released to us in this season of time, that we're going to see more clearly, hear more clearly, and know with a greater certainty the things that you're directing us to do, Lord. Thank you, Father, for letting 2025 be a year of supernatural clarity, supernatural insight, and yes, Lord, a year of restitution, a year of payback, confronting the thief, taking back everything that he's stolen from us. I bless each and every one now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Come on. Was I right or not? That was an incredible conversation. I absolutely love what Jane shares and releases. She has such clarity that she communicates with, such a fresh revelation of what the Lord is saying. And I'm so excited for that she's going to be with us at the end of the month.
Oh, I can't wait. Literally, it was hard to interview her because I was wanting to amen her, shout her down, run around the room, light my hair on fire. She just so got me inspired. And I want to challenge you to listen to this again, because there are some profound truths she dropped. And then also her whole aspect of this prophetic theme that she sensed God place upon her heart for 2025. I think it's so important. And so I'm telling you what, she's going to be live and in person at our Momentum 2025 conference. And I believe she's just going to cut loose. She already told us how excited she was to get here to the Bay. And so let some people know, do whatever you got to do to get in the room and bring some people with you. We're so looking forward to having you. you in the room, Momentum 2025 Conference. Hey, thanks so much for joining us, gang, for this episode. Make sure to look for us in the next episode. But remember, relief may change your circumstance, but a revelation will change you.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Keep It 100 podcast. Make sure to rate, review, and refer us to your friends. And be sure to click that subscribe button so that you're alerted as soon as new episodes drop. Help us get the word out. Share this link on your social media platforms and check us out at SeanandKristaSmith.com. You can also find us on Facebook at Sean and Krista Smith Ministries. We would love to hear from you on how this podcast has impacted you, so be sure to show us some love.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Keep It 100 podcast with Sean and Krista Smith. Keep up with us on Facebook and Instagram and SeanandKristaSmith.com, where you can discover more resources. If this podcast has impacted you, please subscribe and review wherever you listen to your podcast. Keep it 100.